Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Good morning, John Downing. We were talking before the break about Mallorca in terms of how parts of this country will be warmer than Mallorca this weekend. And we go nice neatly from Mallorca to Aya Napa, which I never thought would crop up as part of the conversation for Call from the Dáil.
Indeed.
But you might enlighten us there, John.
In Kerry, they speak of little else bar Aya Napa. Aya Napa, the Cypriot, the beautiful Cypriot holiday resort, is where the Taoiseach and the other EU leaders are closeted today. It's 20 degrees. I was just looking at, you were talking to Carlo weather. I was looking at YR weather, Norwegian crowd. It's 20 degrees as we speak there and sunny. And it feels like 20 degrees. So maybe the Taoiseach's got the better, maybe Micheál Martin's got the better end of things, though. I would wonder, because having covered well over 100 of these EU leader summits, they rarely get a second to go outside the door because there's an awful lot on their agenda, not least the huge seven-year budget, I don't know, $1.5 trillion, whatever it is, think of a number, for the coming 7 years from 2027 onwards. And there'll be pressure on Ireland. Ireland takes over the EU presidency in a few weeks on July the 1st. There'll be pressure on Ireland to try and get a deal on that, because in April 2027, a decisive French presidential election, which could change the direction of the European Union if it is won by Marine Le Pen's party, the National Rally. So,
the far
no
right.
Great pressure at all.
The far right.
Here you are. The baton is passed. And actually, one thing I was in reading about this, as you know, I spent a long time reporting from Brussels. I was very interested in Kerry MEP Sean Kelly's call for Ireland to use the EU presidency to take the lead in diluting member states' veto in decision making, especially on foreign policy decisions. He was pointing to how Hungary had completely upended EU efforts to support Ukraine. So quite a brave stance and thoughtful stance by Sean Kelly, but very good arguments in a piece that he had in the Sunday Independent at the weekend.
And Sean Kelly is saying, look, we need to prepare in case Marine Le Pen and her party get into power and they do a similar, they adopt
blocking
similar
exercise.
Tactics to Orban.
Yes, as they very likely would, that they would become the leaders of the awkward squad, upending all sorts. He's talking about a conservative enough dilution of the veto. Ireland, by the way, very rarely uses any such thing. For example, the Mercosur thing was a weighted vote, a so-called qualified majority vote, where you need a blocking minority of about one third. And he's talking about that they move to a weighted majority where you need more than half of the EU states to drive something forward, and that representing two-thirds of the EU population. He also says we should keep the veto for defence issues, which is, of course, a very sensitive issue with Irish neutrality. But quite a daring sally forth by Sean Kelly, quite interesting.
And, of course, The summits taking place in Cyprus are in the shadow of the ongoing chaos and uncertainty and war in the Middle East.
Yes.
And the EU Commission has given the go ahead to relax EU state aid rules, so that will allow member states, including Ireland, obviously, to help people coping with the surging fuel prices and energy prices.
Absolutely. And they're also talking about, they've tasked the Policy Guiding Commission, Ursula von der Leyen's crowd, Michael McGrath, the Irish Commissioner among them, to go and formulate a plan. They're talking about things like trying to have greater cooperation in securing energy supply, particularly jet fuel and other things. And slowly, but they're beginning to try to get their act together along those lines. Of course, all these issues are majorly issues for national government at this point, but they do need EU clearance, as you say, on state aid rules and the excise and VAT rates on fuel and gas and electricity and stuff like that.
John, I'd like to get your views, maybe I'm just picking this up wrong, but is there a little bit of a contradiction or conflicting message going out from Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Public Expenditure Minister Fianna Fáil Deputy Leader Jack Chambers about when these reliefs will be coming in? Micheál Martin's talking about that they're hoping to give people more permanent reliefs on high energy costs by making structural changes that go beyond the short-term cuts to tax on fuel and diesel, and there'll be opportunities to use the fuel allowance payment to help people struggling with their heating bills. The fuel allowance has already been extended to the start of May, I think, when it normally would end in March, to help people. But Jack Chambers is saying then that it's not likely that further measures to help people won't come in until the budget in autumn.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem that the government has had on this issue. In fairness to them, when we had the fuel blockades and road protests and all of that, the government was trying to say, look, we had said all along that we were going to do more than just the package that was unveiled, the package that was unveiled on the 24th of March, the first effort. And then they were trying to say, look, after the road blockades, we just brought forward, we were planning to do all these things anyway, so $750 million, largely targeted at hauliers, at agricultural contractors, at farmers, though we do get a certain relief at the fuel pumps, or the rest of us, when we go to buy diesel or petrol. But there is a communication difficulty with government, and they seem to be sending mixed messages, and they seem to be behind the ball quite a bit.
Now, John, this morning's Irish Times, there's an interview with Danny Healy-Ray by Harry McGee. Follows on from a story in yesterday's Kerry's Eye, reports of a rift between Danny Healy-Ray and Michael Healy-Ray over the two TDs' departure from supporting the government. Of course, Michael Healy-Ray had resigned his Minister of State position. Danny Healy-Ray is saying this morning, denying that there's any rift between himself and his brother.
Yeah, and this, I suppose this will go on, and we've had Jerry O'Sullivan and I discussed this at some length this day last week. There is undoubtedly tension between Michael and Danny, and there has been on other issues, and it recurs. Whether it's Armageddon, as Kerry's Eye reported yesterday, you know, total suggests really that at this point there's a total irreconcilable split. Michael Healy-Ray has yet to comment on that. Danny is adamant that it's not true, that they'll go ahead. I think it may be time to park this one for a while. There have been acres of stuff written and spoken about this, and I think people will make up their own minds. How the Healy-Ray brothers truly get on is a matter of some speculation. There would undoubtedly, watching them for years in the Dáil, they have a frequently different approach. In summary, Michael seems to be more cerebral, more the considered and mathematical approach to things. Danny tends to be more visceral, coming from the gut. So, you know, this will go on. I think we have time to fully see. I personally, I doubt whether things are at the point suggested in Aidan O'Connor's report in Kerry's Eye yesterday. But time will tell.
Time will tell, absolutely. And one final comment on this before we move on to other matters, because as you said, so much has been discussed about the Healy Rays. Fianna Fáil, within Fianna Fáil, senior figures told Harry McGee in today's Irish Times that even though the two brothers had made a 2-for-1 deal with Taoiseach yeah. Micheál Martin, there was a strong possibility that Michael Healy-Rae could have continued as a Minister of State, notwithstanding Danny's decision to vote against the coalition.
Yeah, I think that does resonate with me. It is undoubtedly, it was a 2-for-1 deal. That is, if you go back to the stuff in January 2025, when the Healy-Rae element of the deal with the regional independence, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, was unveiled, it was a double act. And yes, I'm sure the government would have been keen to hold on to Michael Healy-Rae, but there again, we're back again with the dynamic of the Healy-Rae organisation in Kerry and how they do politics. It's clear that the Healy-Rae's decided that it's still 2-for-1, or was certainly in the no confidence vote. And on that occasion, Michael basically followed Danny's lead.
Briefly, John, it's Sinn Féin's Ardèche this weekend. They're up in Belfast.
Yeah.
They must be. How do you think they're feeling? They're top of the pops in the polls.
They're top of the pops in the polls in the 26 counties and in the 6 counties, and they're. You know, you could argue, well, you know, what's so wrong with that? True enough, 22% in the Republic for Sinn Féin at the start of this month, 19% for Fianna Fáil, 17% for Fine Gael. But their difficulty is that they do appear stalled. As we speak, the delegates are on their way from Kerry, Kerry, Cork, Limerick, and all places. There will be a huge crowd. They're in the Waterfront Hall in Belfast. Being in Belfast, there'll be the envy of many other parties, because they'll certainly pack in a crowd, and it is an opportunity, I think, for the leadership to try and give the party a badly needed G-up. There is so much dissatisfaction with government south of the border. There's continuing paralysis north of the border. So there is a feeling, for example, that so much dissatisfaction with the government, with the Dublin government, that Sinn Féin really should be doing better. Trying to major yet again on the cost of living issues. I was watching very closely Mary Lou MacDonald on Wednesday attacking the Taoiseach full on all of the details, feeling they should be doing better. The other carry-on is they're still insisting on a border pull by 2030. And that, to me, is poppycock, nonsense. But the years are hurtling in. 2 years from now, 30th anniversary of the 1998 Good Friday Agreement. But London will decide, ultimately, when there can be a border pull. And I don't see it happening as Sinn Féin continues to insist.
And we don't even have time to talk about the uncertainty in UK politics at the moment. What we'll stay on, John, is a time-honoured favourite and something that always gets up people's goat, overspends when it comes to public projects.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a week, really, when we had largesse on the one hand, a surprise. Some people felt Ireland's budget surplus projection.
Over 9 billion, sweet.
Yes, this is it. There was a feeling it could be down as low as 5 billion. It comes out at 9.2 billion. But there are still huge economic storm clouds, still huge dependence on fickle, unreliable corporate multinationals, company tax, basically.
But in a way, it's worked to the government's disadvantage, this very healthy surplus, because it puts pressure on them to do more, to bring in more
to
cuts.
Shell out.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
To help absorb the cost of the fuel crisis and the fuel.
Yes, rather than trying to squirrel away for the storm that I believe certainly is coming, and the bulk of people in Ireland, 8 out of 10 people, believe that sadly we risk heading back to recession. But your point, there's yesterday it came out at the Public Accounts Committee. We're back again with another example. We did the last year. We had the bicycle shed. We had the security hut, both at Leinster House. We had other stuff like the cost of putting a few steps into a Dublin park. A lot of this stuff laid at the door of the OPW, which of course is universally present in Kerry. The OPW are out of the firing line this time. It's the National Transport Authority. Two things. Firstly, they're trying to a new traffic management system on the railway lines. The projections, the costs, were supposedly about 19.5 million. They're currently at 36 million, knocking on for twice what it's costing. Ooh. There's a delay on the projection was that it could have been done by last September. Now we're talking about next January at the earliest. The meter continues to run, but this one feeds into a much bigger project by the same company, Indira Sistemas. They're trying to deliver contactless payments for the greater Dublin area. In other words, you just tap a card, get on the bus, get on the train, tap a card, and away you go. And there's a budget of about 269 million specifically, 23 million of that already spent, but now doubts emerging as to whether this company are up to it at all. Any of us who travel abroad into the other capitals around the world know that contactless payments and common tickets, you know, for the bus, the underground, the tram, the whole lot, is in place for years and years. Dublin has just struggled with this to get this system for the greater Dublin area. If it worked in the greater Dublin area, you could see it in Tralee, Killarney, elsewhere. But again, you know, very disappointing stuff. Again, failure to order these things, organise them and deliver them.
John, we're out of time, so unfortunately we won't be able to talk about the writs being moved for the by-elections in Dublin and Galway for May 22nd, but at the moment anyway, it's not a prospect that the government is looking for, government parties are looking for. But we might leave that for another day.
Thank you so much for your time, John. Have a great weekend.
Enjoying the sun. Okay. Enjoy and keep well. And if you have any comments about what John had to say on this week's Call from the Dáil, email kerrytoday@radiokerry.ie.